Let's turn to Ephesians 5. And a couple weeks ago, we looked in verse 10 and 9 and 10. We talked about how we're producing the fruit of the light, and which we talked about that being the fruit of the Spirit. You know, the light would be the Spirit, be another name for the Spirit. And trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord, or proving what is pleasing to the Lord, is what that word trying meant. And so the idea there is that we are, first off, we have a little grace to grow, but we are proving the will of God. We can find it in the Scripture, and we can apply it. Okay, and so when we look here, we'll read verse 11 of Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start today.
11.
Yes, please.
Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them.
Okay, so the word participate, the Greek word, means to have fellowship with. So he's saying, don't have fellowship with the deeds of darkness. Don't let that be something that we're comfortable with, so to speak. You know, and so if you get comfortable with something, you're going to start slipping, or you're starting to, it's easier to say yes, if you will. On the other way, if you're comfortable with something that's bad, it's harder to stand up against it. And so you don't have fellowship with it. This word is used three times in the New Testament. And another time it's used is in Philippians 4. Let's turn over there real fast. Oh, we're not going to look at the time it's used in Revelation 18 today, but this is the other time here it's used in Philippians 4. Philippians 4, verse 14. Yeah, so the word share there is the same word we have for participate or have fellowship with. And so he's saying, nevertheless, you have done well to share in my affliction. This is a positive way that they're sharing. So we're seeing when he's saying participate, it you know, sometimes we can think, well, we just, you know, we did, you know, a little white lie, what people might say, or something, or do something small, but that's really participating in the deeds. That's having fellowship with the deeds of darkness. That's having fellowship with unrighteous things. And so that word is used as in positively, like sharing in the affliction. Well, if it's used negatively, we're sharing in the wickedness. If we participate, or if we share in that. So he says, don't participate in that, in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. Ephesians 5. The word for expose means to expose, convict, or reprove. Now, this word is used a few times in the New Testament, and one time it's used is, let's turn over to Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple times here that it's used, but Titus 1. And in verse 10 through 13, so I want to read that, please, of Titus chapter 1.
Mm-hmm.
10 through 13 of Titus 1. One of those small books, again, you miss the page and you miss the book.
For there are many rebellious men, empty talkers, deceivers, especially those of circumcision, who must be silenced because they're upsetting whole families, teaching things they should not teach for the sake of sordid gain. One of themselves, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. For this cause, reprove them severely, that they may be sound in the faith."
Okay, so the word in verse 13, the word for reprove, is the same word as we see that it's translated expose in Ephesians 5:11. And what he's saying there is reprove them so they can be sound in the faith. But it, notice what he's, the context of that is that there is these people that are teaching things that they shouldn't be teaching. They're upsetting whole families. They need to be silenced. They need to be reproved. Their wickedness needs to be reproved so that they may be sound in faith. See, that's the goal of the exposure of the exposing. And so when we're keep that in our mind as we'll go through a couple more examples here, but when we look back in Ephesians chapter 5, we think of the exposing sometimes. Like initially when I was looking at that, I was thinking exposing like destroying or exposing and destroying the idea of judgment. But really what it's talking about is it's talking about exposing the maybe character traits that are bad that we have to destroy those character traits to save the person to be sound in faith. It's almost in a positive way there that they were exposing some things that we, you know, some things we should change through the light. And we'll get to that, kind of tie that all up. But before we get to those, turn over to that back a couple pages to 2 Timothy. My Bible is back one page probably. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And in verse 2, someone read that, please.
Preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with great patience and teaching.
So the word for reprove there is the same word we're talking about that's translated exposed in Ephesians 5. And he's saying, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction. See, it is not for the reproving is not for the benefit of the reprover. The reproving is for the benefit of the reprovee, if that's even a word. But the one who's getting reproved, so that we do that in great patience, so that that person will come to realization and change. It doesn't mean that they're just completely in left field, but sometimes a little reproving needs to happen to help, you know, discipline sometimes. Our kids need to happen so that they correct a little bit. They're not just throwing a tantrum and destroying the house or hitting their siblings with toys and everything all the time. But maybe there's an attitude that needs to be adjusted or approved a little bit. You know, so that idea there is it's a positive way though. It's in a positive way so that somebody will come to the knowledge or to the knowledge of what they're doing wrong, but to do what is right. Turn over to Matthew 18. Another spot this word is used. Matthew 18. And in verse 15 of Matthew 18. Let's read that. Just go ahead and read that verse.
If your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have wounded your brother.
Okay, so the word, I think you said fault, Ken? Show him his
fault.
In private. And so mine says reprove him in private. So that word for fault or the word for reprove is the same Greek word we're talking about here as expose. But he's saying, really he could be saying he's exposing, or that word can mean convict. Convict in private. If they don't listen, then there's other means to continue. But you do that for the purpose of winning the brother is what he's saying. If he listens to you, you have won your brother. And so we see that this word is used, and there can be some times where you could say it's used in a completely, I don't know if you could say that, because even if it's used in a completely bad sense where they shouldn't be doing it at all, it still is reproving for the purpose of trying to get them to repent. So the word, when we think of reproving, it's not... Like, we think of, like, a debate, for example. The goal of the debate is to disprove the other side so that the other side is put to shame, so to speak. And so that then they'll vote for the other person or whatever the debate's for. It's not necessarily for, like, I'm not saying that righteous debating wouldn't be this, but worldly debating is the idea is to destroy the other person and prop up yourself. But reproving and how, and even if you want to debate by reprove by debating, the goal still is to build up the other person. Hopefully they repent because of the, you know, to as we reprove them. Or if we're being reproved, hopefully we repent as well. And so that's what he's saying there is that, you know, there's means by going further with it, but if first go to your brother privately, he says, and if he's listened to you, you've won your brother. That's all the further has to go. So reproving them. And so reproving them is meant to turn people back to the truth. So when you go back to Ephesians 5, when we're looking at that there, okay, so when he says that the word for expose there, so don't participate or don't share, don't have fellowship with the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them or reprove them, is what he's saying there. Reprove them. Verse 12, it says, for it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. How that actually, in the Greek, if you have it, if it's translated in order, it should say, for the things in secret being done by them, it is shameful to mention. So what I guess, what it doesn't, it's not saying, hey, we shouldn't, because it can be used to say that, well, we shouldn't talk about something at all about anybody, because that's just something we don't do, and if we do it in secret, that's not good. That's not what it's saying there. It's saying that if it's the things that are done by them in secret, it's shameful to mention it. And it doesn't mean that we can't discuss it if we have a plan, because in the case of Matthew 18, we'll just use for example, if you reprove the brother in private, or expose the brother's, convict him, or expose it in private, and they don't listen, you have to tell somebody to take two or three witnesses with you. So that's not what Paul is saying here. He's not saying don't say anything about it, but I mean, it would be unwise to say it from a teaching standpoint, as from the pulpit or whatever. It'd be unwise to say it to people who can't handle it too. It'd be wise to keep it with as little as possible, and because that's the goal. Is the goal isn't to spread it out. The goal is to get help that's needed so we can help the brother out. And that's what it's saying there. He's not saying don't ever mention it. Don't ever talk anything about it, because, I mean, that's kind of contradictory. How are you supposed to expose something if you can't talk about it? I'm saying to not talk about it in public, but maybe talk about it privately with somebody. Hey, what do we do about this? How do we handle it? How is the best way to go about it so that we can win this person back? That's fine to do. That's other parts of the scripture. That's what it's saying, telling us to do, so we know that this is not what Paul is saying there when it's translated that way. He is saying, hey, you're not going to go gossip and busybody about it. That's not what we're doing. We're not talking about it in light or talking about it in jest that hey, you know, that's kind of funny or you know, whatever it is. If we start thinking that that's okay, then we're starting to train our character, and it's not good character to do that anyway, but then we're also starting to train our character and be a little softer on it. Maybe not stand up for it. And so we're getting comfortable with it. We're not participating with it. So we don't get comfortable with it, but we expose it. We approve it. Because it's shameful for them, what they do in secret, it's shameful to mention, but we need to correct it. Okay? And so that thought is still carried on. If we go a little bit later, in next verse, I guess, if someone wants to read that, please.
5:13?
Yes, please.
But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light.
Okay. So when he says that there, all things become visible, and then at the end of the verse he says everything that becomes visible is light. Those words are the same word. And it means to become visible or to manifest. The word for expose there is the same word we're looking at in verse 11, where it says even expose them or reprove. And so when we're looking at that, he's saying, you know, all things will become visible with the light when they are reproved, when they are exposed by the light. And then everything that becomes visible is light. So when the light shines upon the darkness, if you will, and the darkness is exposed, and the reproving process takes place, then the light overshadows the darkness and it changes the person. But it's not against their will. Let's turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. Someone read verse 20 and 21, please.
For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light so that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God.
Okay, so the word for exposed in verse 20 is the same word we're looking at as being reproved. Okay, so he's saying that let everyone who does evil hates the light. For everyone who does evil hates the light, but it does not come to the light lest his deed should be exposed or reproved or convicted. Like, so he hates the light, so he does not allow it to help him. And we know that the light, if we look back in that context of Ephesians 5, the producing the fruit of the light. That's the Holy Spirit. So if the light is making things visible, the Holy Spirit is making things visible so that we can work on them. In verse 21 of John 3, it says, but he who practices the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be manifested. That word manifested is the words that we're looking at in Ephesians 5:13 that says, become visible. So he's saying there is that the one who hates evil doesn't come to the light that his deed should be reproved or he should be convicted, but he who practices the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be manifested or made visible so that they can be destroyed. If you think about exposing something to the light so that you can destroy it, whether it's a lot nicer to catch the raccoon when it's in the daylight instead of having to spotlight it, or coyote too, but you can still spotlight it. You can expose them out of the darkness with a light to destroy them. And that's the same idea there, is that we're exposing it because of the light. The light is exposing it and helping us there. Turn back to Hebrews 4. Hebrews 4, verse 12 and 13.
For the word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And there is no creation hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to his eyes of him and whom we have to do.
Okay. And so the last little bit of that verse is a little bit is translated kind of wrong. And what he's saying there, it should say that it's an advantage. Everything's open and laid bare to him. And it's our advantage that the Word can see that, is what it should say, the Word being Jesus there. Okay, and it doesn't really show that Word logos there, but the word for with means actually it's advantageous for. And so what he's saying there is that there's no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are open and laid bare to the eyes of him. It's to our advantage to be seen by the Word, is what he's saying. It's our advantage when the deeds are exposed by the light. Back in Ephesians 5, or in John chapter 3, when our deeds are exposed by the light, that is how they're taken care of. That is how they are destroyed. That is how the darkness becomes light. And that's what he's saying there, and in a positive way in Hebrews 4 there, but also as in our text in Ephesians 5, you know, he is not saying that, oh, you just wait, everything's going to be laid open, and everything's going to be exposed. Because that's not even what he says. The context is that in verse 13, but all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, and everything that has become visible is light. Because when they are allowed, when we allow God to work on us, to help us out, if we hate the truth, we don't, but if we love the truth, then the light is going to shine. We want our deeds to be exposed so that the bad deeds can be destroyed and the good deeds can be strengthened. So then that the when they're exposed, they're replaced with light. It's not exposed against our will. They're exposed with our will. We have to play a part in that. But it is exposed with our will, and everything that is exposed becomes light. See, he doesn't just wait. No, it's not just about waiting for judgment so he destroys the wicked. It's that we are letting our character change because we are deciding to follow Jesus, and we're letting him help change our character. And that's why it's an advantage for us that he can see that. It's an advantage for us that the Holy Spirit can see the character that we have, so we, you know, he knows what we need to work on. He can help us do that. And so, when we're looking at, it's going to be a little shorter class today, but we're looking at having fellowship, not having fellowship with unfruitful deeds, instead of exposing them, and not disgracing, or not speaking to the things that were done with them in secret, because that's shameful to mention that in a way that we're kind of approving it. Because if we start mentioning it and it's in jest or whatever, then we start getting comfortable with it. Then we start, you know, thinking maybe it's not that bad. Like the deeds of darkness is not something to be have fellowship with, not something to even consider. And that's what he's warning against there. But all things will be changed, all things will be exposed or become visible when they're exposed, and everything that becomes visible is light. So it becomes visible, and so they're changed. So when we're looking in that context there, it's a positive sense there, and it's something we should want to. We want the Holy Spirit to help us grow. We want the Holy Spirit to help us, to approve us. We want the Holy Spirit to be allowed to work through other individuals sometimes, that not necessarily some weird way, but so that they can help us. Because we... because we want to produce the fruit of the light, so we're going to let the light help change that character. Anybody have any comments on?
I just think, like in the end of verse 13 there, where it says, everything becomes visible as light.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I think that's encouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like that's, to me, is not something we should be scared of.
Right.
Like, oh, we're going to be exposed.
Right.
Like, we should, that should be encouraging to us. Because if we can, we get to become light.
Right.
And
yeah.
That's how I mean, I guess I can see how that could, maybe to different people that could be kind of scary.
Hmm.
But, you know, to a Christian, that's encouraging.
Right.
I think that's what I look at anyways. So.
Right. Yeah, and it's written in the context of the Christians, and it's written in the context of how it is written is not necessarily that God, it's not written in a judgment stance.
Right.
It's not written in the context of judgment. It's written in the context of helping become light,
right.
It's darkness, helping the individual. Right?
Or even the very first verse in 5, it says, therefore be imitators of God.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
You know, that is the light.
Right. Yeah, and if we're imitators of God, we don't participate or share in the deeds of darkness, right? Any other comments or anything? Questions?
Yeah. Well, just you made the point there in verse 12, when it, kind of the translation, you know, like mine reads, for it is disgraceful even to speak of these things. Like, when you're not really looking at the whole picture, your first thought is, well, we can't even talk about this stuff.
Right, yeah.
But the things that are being done are the disgraceful things.
Right.
And,
yeah.
You know, you shouldn't be mentioned
right.
with those things.
Right.
You know, be spoken of with those things, I guess. But they do need to be exposed, because if they're not exposed, they're going to remain in the darkness.
Right. And one thing is that the things that are spoken in secret are the disgraceful things. So sometimes we think, oh, we're doing what is right by keeping it a secret.
Right.
And it's not necessarily the case.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's not necessarily the case to say that, well, we're not talking about a person, or that's not what he's saying there. He's saying, don't mention it. Don't enjoy it. Don't get comfortable with it. Don't participate in it. But expose it, because we got to expose it. We have to talk about it to expose it. We have to realize the game plan and expose it and get rid of it. So, yeah. Any other comments or anything?
One, if you have to expose something, if somebody would not listen, wouldn't you would have to keep it strictly among certain believers.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The protection also.
Right. And so you have two or three witnesses then in Matthew 18 after that.
Right.
And then if they don't listen to them, then the, like in Titus's case, they're saying that those men, Paul is writing Titus saying those men need to be silenced. They need to be cast out, basically. And so that's that third step there, is that after you don't, if they doesn't listen to you individually, if he listens, great, you won. You won your brother over. If he doesn't listen, then take two or three more. If they don't listen to them, then bring it before the congregation. Now, that doesn't mean that you have a public assembly and guests are coming in and stuff like that necessarily, but it's the people in the congregation are like, no, you're not repenting. Get out, because you're a cancer. You know, it's something that, it's something that they have, they take a stand together as. And so that's, it's even that is not necessarily just open to the public forum type thing. It's something to have amongst mature people that can handle it. You know, not everyone can handle it, but most Christians, and it depends on, I mean, our congregations, smaller congregations can be different because you have not as many people just coming in, you know. Very congregations, you don't know the status of everyone. So it just kind of depends on, it's different for each one. But for the most part, it's those who can handle it is who is brought before. And if the person doesn't listen to even them, then, okay, you're like a task gatherer, you know, get out. But any other comments or anything? Okay, we'll pick up again in next week in Ephesians.